The military coup happened on the 1st of February. We saw over the days and weeks people coming out to protest on the streets. And the military cracking down first with shields and batons, then rubber bullets, and eventually live fire. Really, the story of the last 12 months has been the repression that those people have suffered, and now we're at a stage almost where the whole of Myanmar is in a state of civil war. I'm Tony Cheng, Al Jazeera's correspondent in Bangkok, and I've been reporting in Southeast Asia for several decades. But between us, covering Myanmar over the last 12 months has thrown up some of the biggest challenges of my career. The military swept in just before dawn. As it turned out, they'd already taken key leaders like Aung San Suu Kyi. As soon as the coup happened, the military seized the airport, the capital. It was very clear that as journalists, we couldn't get in. We were watching it from outside. And this momentum sort of built up as crowds and crowds of people, hundreds and then thousands of people, took to the streets. People were going live on Facebook, Twitter, other available streams. And we had contacts on the ground too. So we were watching this happen in Bangkok, really as it happened. And then very quickly, the military had decided they were not going to tolerate this. We saw the first shots going on, the first victims fall. As a journalist, I found it rather strange because in the past, I've been to huge disasters, war zones, places where death is very commonplace, and you can contextualize it because you can see it happening in front of your eyes. We were sitting in an air-conditioned office in Bangkok, and we were watching scenes of just the most absolute horror unfold. There was one case in which we saw a father whose son had been shot by the military. And there was a shot that we used in our piece that day of him sitting in the back of a cab holding a dead child. Things like that, that kind of terrible emotion expressed in an environment where you're completely separated from it. It's much harder because at the end of the day, you slam your laptop down, you walk out of the office, and you're in the middle of a large cosmopolitan city where life is going on very much as normal. I found it really quite hard to do in a way that I haven't been as affected by things that I've seen unfold right in front of me. They seem to be groups of young people who fled to areas, in some cases in the border, where the territory is controlled by ethnic armed groups. Those groups have been sympathetic to the cause of the youngsters coming from the cities, have offered them training, in some cases have offered them weapons. But what they're then getting in return is really fierce crackdowns, and it is brutal. In Mesot, we could see smoke from incoming artillery, we could hear incoming artillery, some of which hit the Thai side.
I think that's incoming, guys.
We saw an attack helicopter roving up and down the river that divides the two countries. Now, this was a full-fledged battle. The Myanmar military does seem to be employing a policy of scorched earth, willing to just push out all opposition. When I first came to this region as a junior reporter, we would go up for several weeks at a time and train people in the basic skills of journalism. And as the conflict has developed, the misinformation has become greater and greater. But there's also been some really well-sourced, well-thought-out material, which has been put out by so-called citizen journalists. And I think there is a core there of people who do know how important journalism is and how important it is to get the message of what's happening inside Myanmar to the world outside. And they've been doing it very effectively. There is a new generation of people who've seen all of the benefits that democracy and openness and trade can bring to Myanmar, and they really don't want to lose it. And if there isn't some way out of this, another future will be lost and another generation will be lost, and there will be no way back.